So, we've already talked about rectal assessment. So, let's all refresh our memories. First thing we do is inspect. So, everyone, inspect. Next thing you do is, your hands are already gloved because you didn't do this without having gloves. So, you lube. Remember, there's no such thing as too much lube. All right, so, everyone take your exam finger. Put it in. If it's a male, you're going to feel the prostate. Sweep up. Sweep back down the other direction. Turn the hand over. Back. Pull out. Now, take a little quiet card. Quiet card. Spread it. Now, put that down on the desk. And take your gloves off. Throw them away. All right. All right. Well, okay. Now this, the hemocult. There's two ways of doing it. One is you wait for the person to go to the bathroom, and you have them go in a bucket, and then you take a little scoop of that and you smear it on. That's how you usually do a hemocult. Now that's really a screening only. To do a diagnostic hemocult, you lube up. No PowerPoints for today. All right, stupid Windows. All right, so next, the male. Men are simpler than women. All right, so for the male, step one, inspect and palpate the penis. Step two, inspect and palpate the scrotum. Step three, check for hernia. Pretty simple, huh? Check for hernias. All right, so everyone look up to inspect the penis. You look at it. You take it. And you look at it. And then what you want to do is you want to squeeze the tip a little bit and see if there's any discharge. So they call it check the meatus. All right, now, next step. You have the penis in your fingers like this. Okay. Pull it outwards. Just a little. And what you're going to do is take your fingers like this. And you're going to feel down to the base. Then turn your hand over and feel the top. So you're going to feel the sides and the top and the bottom. Lumps and bumps. So we've now inspected and palpated the penis. The next step is inspect and palpate the scrotum. So, inspect the scrotum. Now, what does the scrotum contain? Testicles. How many? Two. Are they usually hanging at the same level? No. One is usually lower than the other. I think it's typically the right one is lower, but on some people it might be the other way around. The other thing about the scrotum, what do you all know about male genitals from Seinfeld? Say it again, please. Shrinkage. Now, why do men carry their testicles on the outside of their bodies? Temperature regulation. So, the skin of the scrotum is muscular. And in response to cold, it is going to contract and pull the testicles back up toward the body to keep them warm. When a person is hot, they're going to relax and let the testicles go farther away from the body so that they can become cooler. So in response to cold, the testicles will shrink up into the body. In response to heat, they will drop back down.
Do we test
No. No. No, it's just... It's just so you know. It's just so you know. All right. So, to palpate the scrotum, you do one at a time. You're going to palpate the testicle itself, and then you're going to do above the scrotum. Above the testicle, and what you're looking for there is the spermatocord. And it feels like a wad of al dente spaghetti. is what they tell me. I don't know if I would describe it that way, but...
It feels like what?
Al dente spaghetti. Al dente is like the firmer, more chewy spaghetti, not overcooked mush. All right, so, and what does the testicle feel like? I don't know. All right, what I was taught was smooth and glassy, like a hard boiled egg. Was the term I was taught?
Smooth and glassy,
like a hard boiled egg. Now. The general rule of assessing the genitals. Penis, you don't have to be too gentle with a penis. Testicles, you better darn well be gentle with the testicles. All right, that's it. Now, for hernias, there's no way to really describe it. You have to see it and do it for yourself. We're not going to do that, so when we watch the video, you'll get the visual. But basically, you're going to stick your finger up into the inguinal ring and have them turn their head and cough, and you're going to feel it kind of squeeze in on your finger. If it's a hernia, you'll feel it push on the finger. All right, females. Females are a little bit more complicated than men. On the inside and on the outside, too. All right, so... The first step in the female pelvic exam is to inspect and palpate the labia. Most providers neglect to palpate the labia. I don't know why. Maybe they're in a hurry. Maybe they are embarrassed. But most women will say, "Wow, they've never done that to me." You can tell your healthcare provider that you would appreciate a more thorough exam, please.
Okay. What are you looking for again?
So inspect and palpate the labia. What you're feeling for is lumps and bumps. The next part of the exam is the speculum exam. And a speculum is a spreader that allows you to see something. So we put an otoscope specula on the end of the otoscope, and we're going to use now as a vaginal speculum. There's two different kinds. We'll show you the difference in the lab. They have different names based on the people who invented them, but we don't care about that. So the purpose of the speculum is to spread open the vagina so that we can, what we call, visualize the cervix. Now, when an ordinary person hears the word visualize, what do you think of? Like, see it in your head. That's what we think of as visualize. I want you to visualize that you're on the beach right now. And you're all going, "Oh, yes, I'm on the beach, not in this horrible class." Now, when a healthcare provider says visualize, what they mean is to see. So the idea is you want to be able to see the cervix. So once we've inserted the speculum, we should be able to see the cervix. That's the goal. So you inspect the cervix, and then if you're performing one, you'd go ahead and do the pap smear, named after Dr. Papenicolaou. I think he was Polish, but I'm not certain. So, for short, pap smear. Now, what we're going to do in a pap smear is we're going to take a little spatula, a little wooden spatula, sometimes plastic, and we're going to scrape the surface of the cervix. And then we're going to smear that scraping onto a slide and then send it off to a lab to be evaluated for cervical cancer. Now, once you've done that, you can also take a vaginal swab. So you take a Q-tip and you swab the vaginal mucus, and then you can put that on a slide and examine it under a microscope or do a pH test on it, or something we call the whiff test, which is exactly what it sounds like. So for a whiff test, you're going to put potassium hydroxide on the slide and then sniff it. Fishy odor, smells like rotten shrimp, is a sign of infection. That would be called a positive whiff test. Not necessarily. Some STDs can cause that, but also bacterial vaginosis. Now, you can take those slides, and you can usually what you'll do is you'll smear it in two places. One side will have sodium chloride, saline put on it. The other side will have potassium hydroxide put on it, and you look at it under a slide. The potassium hydroxide side, you look for yeast. The sodium chloride side, you look for bacteria and trichomoniasis. And you can actually diagnose yeast infections, bacterial vaginosis, and trichomoniasis in the office just by putting the slide under there. So if you ever work in like a family planning clinic or at the health department, you'll see a lot of that. And you might not be collecting the samples yourselves, but you might be the one processing some of them. All right, so we've done the speculum exam. Take the speculum out, and now you're going to lube up two fingers. So everyone take two fingers, and you're going to put it in like this, and you're going to do that. We call this ballotment. You're trying to bounce the cervix. If it hurts, that's what we call cervical motion tenderness, and it's a sign of cervical inflammation. The next part of the exam is what we call the bimanual exam. So bi meaning two, manual meaning hand. It's not nearly as scary as that sounds. So one hand on top. You're going to put your hand on top of the abdomen on toward the left of the belly button. Swing your fingers over to that side. Push down and pull towards you with these fingers. So, and you're going to pull like this and push like this at the same time. What you're trying to do is catch an ovary between your two fingers. Then you switch over to the other side and the other side. That's called the bimanual exam. So you're assessing for the kind of the width of what we call the adnexa, which is that area of the pelvis. It can be a sign of cervical cancer. And then also palpating for the ovaries. If the ovaries are enlarged, that could be a sign of polycystic ovary disease, ovarian cancer, ovarian cysts, or any number of things that would enlarge the ovaries.
What does the width have
to do with cervical? So the thickness. Okay. So because if that area is thicker, it could be because cancer is growing into that area.
So if they have a cervical motion tenderness,
then what is that? That's inflammation of the cervix. Usually it's going to be from pelvic inflammatory disease. So let's review that. Inspect and palpate the labia. Speculum exam. In the speculum exam, the two things we can do are pap smear and we can take a swab to examine. Remove the speculum, insert two fingers, and you can check for cervical motion tenderness and then do the bimanual exam. The bimanual exam is looking for ovaries, and we call the adnexa. Say again? Adnexa. A-D-N-E-X-A. So that was your question, too? Very popular question. All right. Any other questions about the pelvic exam? All right. Breast exams. First of all, can men get breast cancer? Yes. So men should technically do breast exams too. However, because men have so little breast tissue, typically they'll notice lumps fairly quickly, even without performing regular breast exams. So let's talk about female breast exams. How often should they be done? Once a month. When is the appropriate time to do them? Okay, so after the period, And you typically want to do it at the same time in the cycle. So what they'll typically say, just make it easy, is the same time each month. All right, so what we want to do is want to have the woman raise her arm, and that'll spread the breast tissue out. Typically want to be lying down, and that'll also help spread the tissue out across the chest wall, make it easier to palpate. And there's a couple different methods for doing it, but the only one that is still recommended is what we call the line method, where you just go up and down. So they used to be ones where they'd say go around in circles. Don't do that one anymore. There was another one where we went out like this. Don't do this one anymore either. The only one that we do now is this method. The other thing is you want to use what we call the triple touch. So say triple touch. What that means is you're going to use light pressure, medium pressure, and deep pressure on each spot that you palpate. When examining a patient, you want to use gloves. Now, the shape of the breast tissue itself. Breast tissue is not symmetrical. So the breast is actually shaped kind of like this in terms of breast tissue. And this would be, sorry, let me draw the arms here as a frame of reference. there we go. It's a deformed person. Okay, so this would be the right arm. All right, so where the nipple is, we're going to draw a line here and a line here, imaginary. This will be called the upper outer quadrant, the upper inner quadrant, lower outer quadrant, lower inner quadrant. Now, where do most cancers occur? In this upper outer quadrant. Now, notice the upper outer quadrant also goes fairly high up into the armpit. That's called the tail of Spence. So when you start examining, you want to actually start up here in the armpit and go down the chest wall, then back up. Otherwise, you can miss cancers that occur in this upper part in the tail of Spence.